Welcome to the Social Expedition. Produced by LunaWeb, we're Dave, Elizabeth, and Matthew. Bringing you session number 3, October 22nd, 2009. Well, we have a head full of things. Not, you know, making any references to what's going on in half the sinus cavities across Memphis right now.
I'm guilty. Matthews. I'm a victim.
And you won't catch this by listening to this podcast. All is well.
I certainly hope not.
Bring it in close. Don't need to wash your hands right now.
It's not an auditory transmission, you know.
We do have some social media news, and the news is the news. Twitter lists, Beginner's Corner, and then of course our weekly segment, Social Memphis. And then also our guest later on from the Shut Up and Listen podcast, followed by some upcoming events. So diving right into things, gee, what's going on with the social media news? There's more than you can really handle, really.
Google and Bing both bought rights to like Twitter's public stream. So like tweets and Facebook profiles even will start, or not Facebook profiles, but Facebook status updates are going to start showing up at the bottoms of your searches.
Our big wonderful headquarters with the social media news has been Mashable. They've been kind of serving that curator function and filtering out through all that wreck of noise out there. Our curator needs some curation on top of it.
Mashable's like throwing so much stuff out there that there's no filter. I used to have the Mashable iPhone app on my iPhone, and every time I opened it up, the feeds were completely full. You know, they have space in the app for 20 news stories and 20 tweets. And every time, you know, I could open it up, read all the stories, or at least mark them as read. I don't have time to read 20 stories in one sitting. And, you know, I could open it up again 5 minutes later, and it would be full again.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
There's so much content coming out of that site.
Right. It's like you were saying earlier, though, Dave, that the social media news is the news. Like, there's so much, you know, what's happening, what's current with what's going on in our world right now is social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely intimidating to newcomers.
Looking through there into the deep chasms of what's coming up here, I think we'll see some categorization go on there hopefully by the end of the year. You know, I say, hey, Mashable, take a look at what's going on here with the commercial appeal. You know, they've gone so as far as to create a special channel for the sports. Amen, because I tell you what, I am not into sports. I don't want to see sports updates, but what comes off across the Memphis News channel, on Twitter at least,
like
that.
You know, and it seems like what they're going to have to start doing at Mashable, I mean, they've got, if you go to Mashable.com, a Twitter section, you've got a Facebook section. They've got it divided up there, but when you go to their main site, you get all of the streams in one. If you subscribe to their Twitter feed, it's the same thing. All of their streams in one. What they're really going to have to start doing is start tagging their headlines so that you understand when you see something coming through, like, okay, this is Facebook announces major upgrade. If you're not interested in Facebook, you know to skip that.
And, you know, they're suffering from a kind of a classical problem that all websites suffer from, and that is they've been a good information source. They've been adding information. Mm-hmm. And with that, they've been adding navigation to all this new information. And really, when you start taking a look at the anatomy of the Mashable homepage, you've got almost 2 inches worth of header and about 2 or 3 rows worth of navigation. So they need to do a little information architecture job there, which is pretty classic, and start categorizing that stuff, or people are going to continue to get lost in all the news. It's just overwhelming.
Yeah. Speaking of categorizing stuff, what was going on this week with Twitter lists?
Well, there is, I don't know if it's just a few thousand folks that are out there that were randomly chosen. I don't know what the criteria was to have this new functionality
there
called Twitter. Yeah, Twitter lists. And I was lucky enough to be on that list of Twitter list recipients. And so what that means is I'm kind of a set of a beta group who have this new functionality with lists. And what you can do with these lists is create one. So for example, I created one called Social Memphis. And the people that I add on that list are people that I know of that are engaged in social media, practitioners or enthusiasts of some kind or another, and I add them to that list. So it's almost like creating a special channel. And the people that are using TweetDeck or some other desktop-type applications are very well, very familiar with that type of functionality. But what's new with these current Twitter lists is that I can share my list, or I can make my list private. So it's like, oh, Dave has a list of Social Memphis. Well, that's a good list. Let me subscribe to that. And so then I see, oh, you've got a good list of people in Memphis. For example, Gensized. She's got a list that's about 400 people. That's just all Memphians. It's like, oh, that's a good list. So let me subscribe to that. And so now when I'm looking at my Twitter feed, I don't just have to see everybody that I subscribe to or that I follow. I can click on these lists and see just what those folks are saying. Mm-hmm. When you first get this functionality, there's a lot of work to be done to try and build your lists. And some people are finding out that you've got to be careful a little bit, because you can't say the cool people in Memphis, and then all of a sudden you got some of your friends who are upset because they weren't on that list.
Right, but right. I mean, you know, it's definitely the same sort of lines what we were just talking about, with just a way to categorize and narrow down and make this stuff easier to digest. There are so many people on Twitter. You know, each of us as individual Twitter user is following so many people. I know that for me, like, I follow, for example, all these different news entities, but I also follow people, like my personal friends. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's a nice idea. Like, I'm interested in the idea that will allow me to separate those and actually not miss tweets, because I can look just at my friends or just at my news entities and just separate out my social media context in that way.
Mm-hmm. It addresses part of the problem. You know, when you want to see select information, people aren't talking about the same topic all the time. Now, there are some people that you just can't shut them up, you know. It's a tweet a minute, you know, kind of cuckoo tweets out there. You know, for example, let's say Matthew, you know, the things that you're interested in are blogs, let's say audio, National Public Radio.
Both true. You know. Guilty as charged.
But you're not always talking about those types of things, just sometimes. Right. And so it would be nice if I could just tune into what you had to say about blogs, for example, because let's say I'm not interested in NPR or your dog or any of that kind of thing, but just the NPR.
Right. So it would be really great if you could, like, set up lists based on a search instead of by individual people.
Right. It's aggregating it one further.
Yes.
But that's not something that's included in the current incarnation of Twitter lists.
Not right now. Maybe in a year. There's definitely a lot of people that see that need and are working on ways to come up with some of these shortcomings that you find. And then who knows, after we start using lists, people will recognize a need for something yet even more advanced. So that's this strange thing, Twitter, that we're all still evolving with and trying to figure out how to use to our advantage. And it kind of changes as the participation grows. One of the articles that was on Mashable was talking about it's 20% of internet users are on Twitter.
I saw that.
You know? Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't say that's your first stop if you're trying to get into the social web, but maybe your first stop ought to be Facebook. Just go in there as a person. Don't run in there as a business. Set up a personal account. No doubt
look
you know
up some of your friends.
You know some people that are on Facebook.
Yeah, you can search their names.
So as far as a beginner's corner go, one of your first stops could be Facebook, just from a personal standpoint. And don't be afraid to kind of get in there and get a feel for the conversation. Do a lot of lurking, as they say.
Yeah, look up some businesses you frequent, see if they're on Facebook.
I feel like the great thing about Facebook in terms of beginners is that it is very beginner-friendly. It's pretty obvious, you know? It's going to walk you through how to set up your profile. It's going to walk you through all those steps. Whereas with Twitter, I think There seems
no
to be more a philosophy, you know? And right, there are no directions. It's what you make of it. So Facebook can be a much easier way to dive in, you know? If you search for something and it's a page, it'll direct you how to fan that page. If you search and it's a group, it'll direct you how to become a member. It makes things really easy.
And don't anticipate getting in there and getting it all mastered within an hour. You know, you're going to learn something just about every time you get into Facebook for a while. And they're changing it frequently, and so you can't get upset when they make changes, because they're just trying to improve as well.
Even though I still do get upset every time. I rate.
Yeah.
And then a week later, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Right. I can't remember what it looked like. But I'm very upset for at least 24 hours.
You know, the new things that are going on in there right now are the groups have changed. So now the groups look like fan pages.
I did notice that.
As well as individual profiles.
Yeah.
And they're also, so group updates are also showing up in your stream. I think that's kind of quietly happened, because I haven't seen a lot of abuse on that one yet. And then they're changing the design one more time. I guess any day.
Okay. I will be inconsolable for at least a day.
There will be like 12 new groups started up within the first hour.
Oh, believe it.
10,000 strong.
1 million people against Facebook.
Yeah, 10,000 strong against new Facebook.
Yes.
I just day before yesterday went in and removed myself from the group that was against the changes they made
the
in
last
March.
New Facebook.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, I think I'm actually still a member of the original anti-new Facebook.
Well, hang on to that. That's a good thing for the beginner's corner. And you're gonna, you know, if you try and become a master of this stuff, you're gonna be overwhelmed. And so if you've got that kind of personality that likes to get it all figured out and wrap your mind around it completely, you're in for some frustration. You know, you might want to back off that mindset a little bit and realize that nobody, absolutely nobody, is on top of all the stuff that's going on right now. And it's okay.
Yeah, and especially if you're going in as a business, you almost don't want to be an early adopter. You really need to go in and like figure out where your audience is.
You know, figure out where they are. I'm more of the early adopter blood kind of thing. I like to get in there and kind of be able to rub the crystal ball. Yeah, okay, where are things going and how can I be there when they get there?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of value in that too.
And I know that's not everybody's gig.
Yeah. You
know?
There's
plenty of folks that like to get in line once the line's been formed. And then there's other folks that they don't want a line. Yeah. They don't want a trail. They want to get out there and do the frontier thing.
The early adopter is great, especially for reserving your name and a brand identity. You know, there's a lot of value to both positions. Ultimately, it's about being where your people are.
I don't know why I thought of this, but somewhere in there, an identity and a brand, you know, what I neglected to do, was to mention Eric Maskell, who wrote the song that's now our theme music.
I think is the song's name.
Yeah, and he's at Eric Maskell. It's
Eric with the C.
Yeah, and then maskol.com. He actually has his whole album up there that you can download for free. So we are now using that for our podcast, The Social Expedition. And with that, hey, let's segue into Social Memphis. Elizabeth, you've got some information here put together and Social
Well,
Memphis.
If you remember from last week, we've started featuring a Memphis tweeter every week. And just, you know, people that are doing interesting things with social media in Memphis. So this week we are featuring the Memphis Zoo, who've been tweeting up a storm. They're just at Memphis Zoo on Twitter. Basically, you know, my overall impression is that they're just doing it right. They just have it figured out. They are really making the zoo an active member of the community through social media, as opposed to just being a tourist attraction, a thing that people go to. They're really involved. They post photos of the animals and exhibits on their Twitter account. They sort of retweet blog posts that tourists or locals have written about the blog. So they're really engaging. They've got more than 3,000 followers. And, you know, they do, like, ticket giveaways through direct messages, all that kind of stuff. They're just really using it well. And, you know, the zoo, as I'm sure you know, if you've lived here for any amount of time, is one of our greatest assets. It's been named one of the best zoos in the country. So it's just awesome to see that they are really adopting that whole social philosophy, and they're getting in there and using it to their advantage and continuing to promote, you know, this great gem that we have here in Memphis.
And so they are on Twitter as
at Memphis Zoo.
Wonderful. Yeah, I know they've got a new section out there here recently.
The Teton Trek, brand new, just open. Yeah. So they've got some grizzly bears.
Giving them a plug up there. There's also a little exhibit there for Chief Seattle. That's always been a favorite of mine. You know, stop by, check it out, read the plaques and stuff along the way.
Yeah, I haven't been here that long. I only had the opportunity to visit once, but that was for something else, and I was basically in and out.
You got to go. You got to get to the zoo. Place is the bomb. Excellent. And the weather's great for it now, too, as long as it's not raining.
And then that's really, like, hit
or miss. And that's everything. So, sorry.
Right there, and along with the Social Memphis theme, we have some folks joining us today.
Yeah, we actually recorded this interview a little bit earlier, and we did have to edit it for time. If you want to listen to the whole thing, we're going to post the unedited version at socialexpedition.com sometime on Friday.
Yes, we are joined today by Jared and Justin, who are the hosts of the Shut Up and Listen podcast. They've been doing this for about a year, basically inviting some of Memphis's best and brightest in the arts and comedy and entertainment, music, all kinds of interesting people with interesting stories to tell. And so they're here to talk to us a little bit about their podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Justin.
I'm Jared.
And
people with stories.
I like that. That's I've never...
We might steal that.
We might steal that.
I think I stole it from NPR.
Oh, well.
So don't
say
that.
It's benchmarking.
Yeah.
Like this, I believe.
Sure, I don't know.
Welcome to Shut Up Listen Podcast, where we talk with people with stories, which makes it interesting. Thank you for coming. So, what's up, guys? How are you doing?
We're good. So...
Sorry, that's... it's very strange for us to be on the other side of the microphone.
Yeah. It's a bit awkward.
You know, we've been doing this for just over a year now, and normally we're, like, trying to pull stories out of people, not having to have people pull stories out of us.
Yes. The way we started the show was sort of like every other podcaster. It started out with a bunch of guys sitting around talking about what they like, and there's a lot of that out there. The only way to find your niche is to just go out and do it. You know, just start it. That's the main thing. And keeping content up is another issue. But if you do it for long enough, you'll find something, and we did. We found Memphis. And our location really lends to a lot of our show's content.
Well, that's really sweet, Justin. You know, we really found Memphis.
We did.
Oh. Are y'all originally from Memphis, both of you?
Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, from West
Memphis. Right across the bridge.
Oh, okay.
But I live in Memphis now. You said you listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
Where do you consume them? Is it just like you download them on iTunes or like when you're commuting or riding bikes?
iPod.
Or
iPod.
In the car.
That's another thing. We try to limit our show to an hour because that's most people have a half an hour commute. You can listen to one show a day, half in the morning.
Yeah. We do 56 minutes roughly. That used to be an hour and 45 minutes. But we had a format where the original the Shut Up and Listen came from was like we're gonna have 4 to 5 people and we're gonna come in and you're gonna say Shut Up and Listen, and the whole thing was you bring a song or you bring any type of recorded material and it's your turn to say,
and that's your platform,
Shut Up and Listen, and we're gonna all shut up and listen to it and we'll talk about it, which we normally didn't, but it was interesting because you would have like, it was kind of like a radio show. You'd have like 10 to 15 minutes to talk a song, 10 to 15 minutes to talk a song. You know, but that was a little exhausting as far as like the listener. And most people just want to hear you talk anyways. So,
it's true. If they're listening to podcasts, they want to hear you talk.
And you know, if they didn't like a song, they'd have to fast forward through it and all that. So we decided to
fast forward. That feels so like when you say fast forward, I think like on a little tape recorder and I'm pressing fast forward.
You had a script in it.
Exactly. fast forward.
But
love it.
So let's assume that we've got somebody listening who's thinking, well, man, I'm passionate about this particular topic. Maybe I should start a podcast. So for somebody who's just wanting to get into this thing, what would you recommend? You know, go where, do what?
You should really invest in a couple of good microphones. Mm-hmm. You should get a little mixing station.
Yep.
You can find these pretty cheap if you look on the web or know somebody who can find those sorts of things.
I'll tell you what we use. We use I've got a MacBook Pro running Reaper, which is a open source free. They ask you to pay for it, but I mean, realistically, you don't really have to. But if you enjoy the program, please pay for it. It's like $60.
Yeah.
But it comes with constant updates.
Is there a Windows version for that?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's multi-platform.
It's multi-platform. Cross-platform.
Okay.
Yep. And so, and then basically we have that on our system, and then we run out in through a M-Audio audio interface, and that runs to our mixing board, which we have up to 10 channels, that we could run up to 10 microphones. We do that. We got a board like that because we record a lot of live bands. You don't really need that. You just need, 4 or 5 inputs and go in from there. And it's really simple. And if you don't be scared about talking from the mic, because everybody's always say they're going to come in, oh, I won't have anything to say. Yes, you will. I mean, you just forget the mic is there and just keep going.
The particular format we chose was to have a lot of people. So we had a lot of crosstalk and topic wandering with that many people, but a lot of people, like one of my favorites, Lorenzo at the Psychedelic Salon, I think that's psychedelicsalon.org, it's just him, and he posts lectures and those sort of things, philosophy, and it's just his show and content that he finds. And that's another format that I really like. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't really watch TV anymore. Mm-hmm. It's that's what I think it's heading towards.
I want to start my own podcast, but I do not have the equipment to do it. And I'm sort of, I've been considering for a long time just doing it with the crap that I have.
That's what you need to do.
Yeah. And just seeing if it, you know, seeing if I can just get some traction on it, and then hopefully I can invest more into it.
Well, I've been a long time subscriber to like Tape Op, like Creative Music Recording magazine. Like, and you know, their whole aesthetic is like, you've got to start with what you've got.
Right.
Because I want to do it, and I think the only thing that's keeping me is just the fact that I'm like, oh.
Well, I mean, if you're thinking about it and you're waiting to get the equipment, odds are when you do get the equipment, you aren't going to use it. You will have like put up like $400 or $500 bare minimum.
Yeah.
And
I just don't want it to be so bad that people don't want to listen to it because it's crappy.
Remember that lo-fi is not low quality.
Because my gateway is recording the rumble that it is making inside of the hard drive as well as my voice.
Well, you know, there's ways to take that out.
Yeah.
Trust me, like, I've spent a lot, like, we just recorded a podcast the other day, and I didn't realize there was some kind of interference coming in, because I really don't like to sit there with the headphones on.
Yeah.
Which you really do need to do that. But it's actually better if everyone had headphones. So that would make it so much better.
Yeah.
But so, since not everybody does, I kind of pick it up every now and then and give it a listen.
You guys have aspirations someday of your podcast bringing in money and do that to be your full-time occupation? Or is it just always going to be just this special interest?
We kind of like the podcast. The podcast is free. It will always be free. But what it does is it's a way to connect the things that we do. We always bring in artists. So Justin's a graphic designer. I'm a film guy. We all do music. We know everybody we know is they're based around the things that they do. And it's a way for everybody to come together and talk about what you got going on. And so it's a way to kind of branch out what you do and meet other people, which will eventually make us money because it's more of a networking thing. We're all coming together.
You're in your third season, is that right, or second?
We do half years, so basically years not in the calendar year, but we started last October. So from October to October, we do basically two seasons a year. So we're doing that breaks it up a little bit.
So I was kind of wondering, how do you define a season, and is it by number of shows, calendar?
These are the sort of questions you have to ask yourself when you're starting a podcast. It's really up to you. There are standardized formats. You know, some people are used to having a season, so we decided to do that way. Adapt it from television.
And so, how do we, tell us again how we get to you?
You can go to shutupandlistenpodcast.com or whyaren'tyoulistening.com. Both will take you to the website.
Okay. And we can follow you on Twitter.
At SUAL Podcast.
Awesome.
All right. Very well. And tell that story also.
People with stories.
People with stories.
I want royalties on that. I'm serious.
Well, we look forward to spreading the love here where we can and letting folks know about it. And really appreciate you guys joining us today.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
So, again, that interview was edited pretty heavily for time. And we will post the full version on socialexpedition.com tomorrow. And if you want to go there, take a look, take a listen.
It was a
great conversation. They had a lot of interesting things to say. Really had to kick myself after cutting a lot of that.
And, if we hadn't mentioned it or if that was cut, don't forget you can follow them at S-U-A-L
Podcast.
And the S-U-A-L is for the Shut Up and Listen.
Good old acronym.
S-U-A-L Podcast. All right. So, upcoming events. Which we've got two to talk about, but one of these is the Granddaddy. That is the Bar Camp number 2 from Memphis. Mm-hmm. The Bar Camp Memphis. That's happening on November the 14th. So before that, come on out on November the 4th to the Social Expedition Breakfast. It's going to be over at the University of Memphis Holiday Inn. And our guest that day is going to be Liz Lamons from MemphisConnect.com. If you didn't have a chance to catch up with her at Social Camp, you may have run into their tweets over at Memphis Connect or on their website at memphisconnect.com. And that's a big community blog that's going on out there. Mm-hmm. And there's many, many, many contributors. I don't know what the count is right now as far as the number of people that have contributed content there. A lot of interesting things have to happen to pull that off. And so Liz is going to come share that information with us. And she's going to be there on November the 4th, which is the first Wednesday of November. Stop by socialexpedition.com with more information on that, as well as a link to the registration. 10 days after that is Bar Camp Memphis 2, November the 14th. That's Saturday, So 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's all day long Saturday. There's a mixer the Friday before that.
BarCamp would be like a general web tech conference.
Yeah, web 2.0, you know, which I guess is anybody in that contemporary web industry.
Everything from like specific gadgets to programming to even a little bit of social media, like at Social Camp.
You know, so looking at the kind of the wedges of the pie, part of this, the topics that are going to be there at BarCamp are social media. Other parts are graphic design, front-end web programming, as well as back-end application development, then also platforms as well, as far as hosting platforms, operating systems.
Yeah, and we definitely need people to suggest topics. We need people to volunteer to present. So barcampmemphis.com, go there. You'll be able to register in advance as well.
Yeah, we're going to actually, one of our sponsors is called SCHED, SCHED.org, and we're going to be using their tool to help people schedule their day out, because it can get quite complicated. So what BarCamp is a it's a conference made up of different sessions that last about, in total, you know, about 45 minutes apiece. And on these various topics, the people presenting these are people from the community, which is why we're in essence asking you if you have an interest to be a presenter, to get in touch with us on anything within this web sphere. And that's typically how it happens in the morning. We figure out who those speakers are going to be. For the afternoon, we actually crowdsource these sessions and let people vote on them to see what the schedule for the afternoon looks like. So it's put together for the people, by the people, and it's really interesting. There's going to be individual presenters as well as panel presentations. And one of my favorites is this thing called Core Conversations, which is essentially roundtable conversations amongst peers.
Yeah, not so much user-generated as like audience-generated. You know, there's no real intermediary. There's nobody telling you where you have to go with a conversation.
You see those happen there as well. We're looking at putting together another special session where we have somebody or a couple of people from local businesses that are trying to figure out what's going on in this web realm these days. This is getting increasingly confusing. Talk about where they are, and then we'll have a panel of experts come in and provide feedback, kind of brainstorm real time with suggestions and tactics, strategies that they can employ to help leverage the web and what it is that's out there, all in front of an audience. So that could be a good session as well. But find out more, again, just like Matthew was saying, barcampmemphis.com. You know, so hey, what do we have coming up tomorrow? So Friday from 11:30.
Yeah, Friday from 11:30 to 12:30, we've got Through Blog Talk Radio. We're doing another call-in podcast.
Our Core Conversations podcast.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And so, you know, keep an eye out for information about that on socialexpedition.com, and you know, be sure to give us
a call. We're going to be talking a little bit more about Feedback Friday, which we talked about last week. If you listened to the podcast or called in or even saw, we were tweeting about it, talking a little bit more about that. We're also going to be brainstorming and hashing some things out for BarCamp. So if you've got some ideas or want to learn more, be sure to listen in tomorrow. There are some tweets up about this now with links as well. At BarCamp Memphis is a Twitter account you can check out, or at SM Expedition. We'll have more information on that as well.
And the way that boils down to is, if you just want to listen, you can go to the website and just tune in and just listen. If you want to call in and participate, on that website, there'll be a phone number.
And we'll tweet that out as well.
And you can call in, and you can actually listen on the telephone and then participate in the conversation, and that's what we're after. So we essentially have two kinds of podcasts that we're doing here with the expedition, and that is this one like we're doing right now, as well as the second podcast that we're doing called the Core Conversation. So hopefully that's enough information. Look forward to you joining us tomorrow, and definitely appreciate you tuning into us online here. And with that, we're out of here.
All right. The Social Expedition Podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. Your hosts are Dave Barger, Elizabeth Kaywine, and Matthew Crawford Trissler, who edits the podcast. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.